Bhagavad Gita is a book of mankind's collected experience of and answers to life's most basic questions. Who I am? From where do I come? What is my purpose and destiny? And most practically, how do I find happiness? These podcasts originate in the lectures of Neil Bhatt, a disciple of Swami Chinmayananda. They are presented here in 20 to 30 minute segments, each covering three of the Gita's 701 verses. Welcome to Gita Wisdom for Daily Living.
Well, we have been discussing chapter 10, and obviously we had been discussing the various examples given by the Lord on where we can find His divinity. We have discussed Lord's identity even before He gives all these examples. He said, Aham Atma Gura Kesa Sarva Asya Sthitaha. I am seated in hearts of all the beings. I'm the beginning, the middle, and the end of all the beings. However, because you ask the question and say, give me indication of all your glories on which I can meditate upon. Therefore, Bhagavan gives this 75 indications of where you can feel His presence. As Swami used to say, that Bhagavan, the God, is everywhere, but His presence is most felt in the temple or in a mosque or in a church, because that's where we have most intense desire for us to see Him. So the examples He gives is best among the best in all categories. But once we see something best, we right away say, He's blessed by God, He has all these talents. So we see that every siddhi or every riddhi or every achievement and accomplishment, we see His blessing, His manifestation. Therefore, He says, all these examples He gives of the best among the best, based on the culture Arjuna was living in. And as we always discuss, that Bhagavad Gita is like the essence of all the scriptures, I say cliff notes of all Upanishads and Vedas and Puranas. Whatever is discussed in all these Puranas is put here in a condensed form. So the 75 examples given also indicates examples from the Vedas and Puranas. So Swamiji indicates that the first few examples were purely out of Vedas. So Indra and Aditya, all that comes from Veda. Then he obviously moves on to the Puranas. There are some examples common between Vedas and Puranas, and as we progress into this, the more from the Puranas. Something which you are familiar with, when somebody indicates, it makes the point clear in our mind. If it was this time, probably Krishna would have said, I'm the iPod among all the gadgets. You right away identify the excellence in that. Maharshinam Bhrguhu Aham. Among the Maharishis, I'm Bhrgu. Obviously the culture was developed by the rishis, the sages. They were the thinkers of their ages. Bhrgu being the most ancient among them all. He is considered the son of Manu. And Manu, as we have discussed several times, probably there are more than one, but the one Manu who supposed to have led the Aryans from wherever their homeland was to the Indus Valley, equivalent of Noah in Bible. And obviously some of the historians we hear, he said the same Noah's concept is actually from the Aryan tale about the Manu, that he saved his people from the flood and then brought them to a safer land. His son Bhrgu is obviously the founder of this culture, and therefore is considered among the greatest of all the sages. So he said, Maharshinam Bhrguhu Aham. We also have seen a Puranic story about he tries to find out who is greater among the Hindu Trinity, Brahma, Vishnu and Mahesh. And he found out that Vishnu is the greatest because he has the most humility. Brahma got mad and Shiva got mad, but Vishnu didn't. Also indicates that he probably indicated what is the most important in our culture. Vishnu obviously considered more important because he is the sustainer. Creation somebody can create, but if nobody sustains, they have no value. Somebody can destroy it, but no other creation comes about, the destruction has no value. So Vishnu has given more value. And Bhrigu probably was the one who established that. Therefore, Maharshinam Aham Bhrigu. Among the founders of our culture, Bhrigu is the most important, and therefore, I am Bhrigu. Giram Asmi Ekam Aksharam. Among the words, Gira is actually speech, or the words. Among the speech or the words, I am Ekakshari. Ekakshari is Om. It's only one syllable word. And that's considered the most complete sound. That's because of two reasons. One is, even from the point of the science of sound, Om has all the primordial sounds. A, U, Ma. A is the generation of a sound from your neck. U lingers in your mouth, and Ma, you have to close your mouth. And that has symbolized in our culture as the creation, sustenance, and destruction, which is basically the aspects of God. God creates, He maintains, and He destroys all by Himself. Out of His own self, He creates this creation. He maintains it out of His own thoughts, and He destroys it out of His own thought. So this became the sound symbol of God. It's a sound symbol of all that we consider is divine. Among all the words, you can have stotras after stotras and stutis after stutis, but it's a one word, it combines everything else. Every word which we speak has these three primordial sounds in it. Just like in a four-color printing, there are only four colors, but it generates thousands of varieties of color. In the same way, all this sound which we create has a three primordial bases in it, and that's Om. And therefore, it's considered the greatest among all sounds. So that's a Giram Asmi Ekam Aksharam, Om. Yagnanam Japa Yagno Asmi. Now, obviously, Arjuna was in a Vedic culture. Yagnas were the foundation of Vedic culture. Yagnas, we have seen, is one is that sacrificial fire, and then you offer sacrifices into it, which reaches a particular deity from a ritual point of view. From its significance, as Swamiji has always explained, is a cooperative endeavor. People come together to do something for the greater good, for the common good, is yagna. And the third meaning of that, that which unites you, is yagna. That which unites you with your own self is yagna. So, yagnanam japa yagno asmi. And then we have learned in Bhagavad Gita, there are several yagnas. Most commonly we all are karma yoga, bhakti yoga, and jnana yoga. And each one has its own path and its own value and its own merits. But is something common among them all is transcending your mind, focusing your mind for contemplation of the self. Japa is common in all of them. Japa is also the simplest form of meditation. Or it is something which requires no other accessories to do. Aswamedha yagna, the only kings can do. Or even a small yagna, well, I need fire, I need this. But for japa yagna, you don't need anything other than your own mind. Repeat any mantra or any holy name. So it really requires nothing. Therefore, it is the simplest of all yagnas. Anybody can do it at any given time. Therefore, it is common in all cultures and all religions. Either repeating any holy name with a rosary or tasbih, as we are talking about in Islam, or japamala. Our mind has a tendency, obviously, to wander away from one thought to another. And japa focuses on one word. So we take one name, whatever is holy or divine to us, and keep repeating. So mind, rather than wandering away, focuses on the divine thought. Sometimes they do loudly and say, Ram, 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 Ram. Then gradually you go down and there's Ram, 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 Ram. And then after a while, you're just chanting in your mind. And it reaches a point where your mind also stops chanting. And you realize who you are, the awareness. The peace which prevails after that is who you are. Yajnanam japa yagno asmi. The most complete of the yajnas is japa yagna. Even if I want to do a jnana yagna, well, I have to focus my mind. Why we do a prayer before our class? We had been thinking before we were driving here all kinds of things. Then before we start discussing this, we need to focus our mind. Therefore, there's a beginning prayer which allows us to focus our mind. Therefore, Bhagavan says, I am the greatest among the yagna japa yagna. Sthavaranam himalayaha. Among these physical entities, I am Himalaya. Sthavaranam, that one that moves and one that doesn't move. Sthavara is the one that does not move, obviously the mountains. And among those Sthavaranam, I am Himalaya. Obviously you can tell why they were so impressed with Himalaya. One of the highest mountain in the world and the most majestic of all. Among all the things which you can see, which is in this world, I am Himalaya. Most majestic of all. The next verse, Aswattha Sarva Vrikshanam. Last time we discussed Aswattha people tree. It's also called Aswattha because the horses were tied in a tree. It has the most shade tree and also evergreen, all season tree. So when the travelers travel from one village to another, one place to another, always there is a people tree at the entrance of a village. In Gujarati called Padar or Chok. That's where you have a tree. The guy probably is traveling for a while. He will just tie his horse down, take some rest, and then moves on to his next journey. So always the horses were tied under Aswattha tree. That's considered most useful tree and therefore also considered most sacred tree. As I have said before, in our culture, sacred is something on which my life depends on. That which gives me my life force is sacred. Obviously, people tree probably give them the most what they were looking for among the trees. So therefore, I consider people as the most sacred tree among all. So he said, I am among the trees, I am people. That does not mean that all other trees have no value. But you can see the most value of its existence in people. Therefore, you can feel my presence in it. Devarshinam cha Naradaha. Among the Devarishis, obviously there are Maharishis, you know, then Rajarishis and Devarishis, the Rishis of the Devas. And among the Rishis of the Devas, Bhagavan says, I am Narada. And Narada, obviously no Hindu will ever be ignorant about Narada. There are umpteen numbers of stories, all funny and all, you know, very naughty stories about Narada. He always does something. He put two people and they start make them start fighting, you know.
Troublemaker.
He was always a troublemaker. He's also considered he has the all-time passports to go from one place to another. So he can go from the Devaloka to the earth, to the Mrityuloka, to Patal. So he can move from one loka to another. You can also say from past, present to future. He can move from all places. And his main goal is basically to bring people to Narayana. Because he is the greatest of Narayana's devotee. And he wants all of us to go to Narayana. So he's like an agent. He's a missionary. He wants all of us to go to Narayana. So somehow he creates trouble in our life. So we'll say, oh, Narayana. There are lots of stories, and we've heard about Narada. One of the stories we have always discussed is Narada comes to the earth and there are two people meditating under a neem tree. When they see Narayana, say, Narayana, Narayana, and those two say, oh, you are very close to Narayana. Can you tell us when we are going to meet Narayana? He says, I can go and ask. So he goes to Narayana, comes back, and he comes back. They said, did you ask him? He says, yeah, I have the answer. The first one says, so what's the answer? And he says, the Narayana says that as many leaves are on this tree, that many lives it will take you to reach Narayana. The guy stopped meditating. What is the point? The next one asked the same question, did you ask? I said, yes. Did Narayana say that I'm going to meet him? I said, yes, but I don't want to hear any but. All I needed to know, am I ever going to need Narayana? He said, but listen to me when? He said, and he gets the moksha right away. Because he was not concerned what efforts it will take, or how long it will take. So Narada fights with Narayana. So you told me it will take him all these years and you give him moksha. He is my greatest devotee. So he is one of those, is a missionary who wants all of us to go to Narayana. And Swamiji says, Krishna wants all of us to go to his self. So he can identify with Narada. Gandharvanam Chitraratha. Obviously, even Devlok, there is a lot of entertainment. We have seen pictures about Gandharvas playing Veena and all that in our Purana. They are the entertainers in heaven. And obviously, no matter what place, there is always competition. Who is the best among them? So among those Gandharvas, those entertainers in heaven, Chitrarath is supposed to be the best of the singers. So he is always considered the greatest of the Gandharvas. These are all the examples from the Puranas. Puranas are fantastic stories. When we read Puranas, your mind boggles because their imagination was so vivid that it doesn't fit into our imagination. These are basically examples of the Puranas. And then we come back to say, Siddhanam Kapilo Munihe. Among the Siddhas, among the thinkers, I'm Kapil Muni. Muni is one who is doing the mananam, one who is a thinking entity, is thinker. So among the thinkers, I'm Kapil Muni. And Kapila Muni is the author of Sankhya philosophy. Sankhya means numbers. Sankhya philosophy enumerates how to get to a logical conclusion. A logical step-by-step conclusion of what is the truth in Sankhya. And as we have heard many, many times, Bhagavad Gita and Vedanta is based on Sankhya philosophy. It does depart slightly from the pure Sankhya philosophy. But essentially, it is the same philosophy. Therefore, the second chapter is called Sankhya Yoga. Second chapter is the essence of all Bhagavad Gita, and therefore it's called Sankhya Yoga. And Kapila Muni is the author of Sankhya Yoga. Therefore, among all the thinkers, I'm Kapila. In the last verse which you have seen, Uchehi Sravasam Aswanam. Vidhimam Amrutodbhavam. Back to Puranas. Story of churning of ocean, milky ocean. With the Meru Parvat as the churning rod, Vasuki's serpent as that churning rope, Devas and Danavas churning this. And many, many things came out. All they were after was actually nectar, Amrut. What do we all want? Immortality. We don't want to die. One after another we have desire. I want to do this, and then I want to do this. I want to see my son getting married. Then I want to have my son have children. Then I want my grandchildren getting married. Then I continue. We want immortality. None of us wants to die. So what we are seeking all our life? Immortality. How we are seeking? By churning our mind. By churning our mind, many things come out of it. You see, so even the people who are meditating and contemplating, many, many of these powers and faculties becomes available to us, which we did not know is available to us, you know, while we are doing this. But those can be distractions. As long as you don't get distracted by that, you will reach to the Amrita, the immortality. So, this while churning, also good thing came out of two things which are described in Puranas, is the flying horse. Well, obviously, they were the fighters who were on the horse and a chariot. What can be better than a flying horse? So, obviously, they had the imagination. So, a flying horse comes out. And Airavat. And the next verse says, Airavatam Gajendranam Naranam Cha Naradhipam. So the two things, one comes out is the flying horse called Uchcheshwaras, and I think Airavat has seven trunks. Well, obviously, elephants only one trunk, and we know the beauty of the trunk, or elephant's trunk. It indicates discrimination. Elephant trunk can pick up a needle from a haystack and also can pick up a big trunk of a tree. So it can pick up whatever is appropriate from whatever the, all the things which are available. So one trunk gives that ability to elephant. You can imagine with the seven trunks. So imagine the seven times that discrimination. And both of them then offered to Indra, the king of God. So these are basically analogies used from them. Now obviously the story of churning ocean, we know, churning our mind, and many things come out, and also the poison comes out. Good thoughts and bad thoughts. Devas represent good thoughts. Dhanavas represent bad thoughts. The churning of our mind. Meru is our intellect. And Vasuki serpent is our vasanas, our desires. With that we are constantly churning this ocean in our mind, looking for immortality. But we get distracted by the siddhis come out of it. I'm doing this good. Well, this is good enough for me. Naranam cha naradhipam. And among the naram, among the man, among the human beings, I'm king. Obviously, who do we give the most important? The king, the president of the country. So therefore, among the men, I'm king. And that's where we'll stop.
Om sarve bhavantu sukhina. Sarve santu niramayaha, sarve bhadrani pasyantu, ma kaschid dukha bhag bhavet. Om shantihi, shantihi, shantihi. Harihi Om. Shri Gurubhyo Namaha Harihi Om.